Hey, hockey fans, you're listening or watching Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you all sorts of great hockey news 5 days a week right here on your favorite listening or viewing app of choice.
You're Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right. My name's Sarah. I'm joined by Jess. grammar's hard. Anyway, I'm Sarah. That's Jess. This is Locked On NHL. And I want to say before we get into anything, thank you for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. Start your day with us here on this show. And remember that Locked On NHL is free and available on all platforms, podcast or otherwise, and also YouTube, which is if you're watching what you're watching it on. So, thanks for joining us. Thanks for wanting to hear about preseason hockey, which I know is everyone's favorite thing in the world, right?
It's like the true test of how these teams are going to do.
I mean, obviously, if you win the preseason, you win the Stanley Cup, right?
That's what I've been told. Assuming happens based on some of these overreactions. And honestly, yeah. I wish I cared.
Yeah. I mean, my team's been doing about what I expected them to do. For anyone new here, I cover Locked On Kings. I cover the Los Angeles Kings, obviously. Jess covers the Calgary Flames. So we're not exactly, you know, covering barn burners of teams here. But no. I don't know. The Kings have done basically what I thought they would do, which is lose. But actually kind of play defensively a little better. I'm not seeing any like fireworks though. So they're, you know, they also took about 1,000 penalties. So it's about what I thought I'd get from them.
Yeah. I didn't really have a chance to watch much of the Flames because I'm on the East Coast and I worked until puck drop. And then I said, good night, because it's preseason hockey. Yeah. But yeah, they did get outscored 7-0 in 4 periods of hockey.
Oh, no.
So it truly was the end of the world. And I was just sitting there like, that's Sutter system, baby.
I know that one.
I was just, I didn't, and I don't want to say like, oh, like I don't care, because that gives the impression that I don't care about the team, but I'm not going to sit here and nitpick everything this 19-20-year-old kid does. I going to sit there and nitpick Milan Lucic for being playing in the first preseason game of the season? Yeah, because I'm confused. What are we doing there? Genuinely, what are we doing? But at the end of the day, this isn't a true evaluation of the team as a cohesive unit heading into opening night. So don't lose your mind over it. It's important, but not life or death.
Yeah, it's definitely like it's been, and the Kings have only played one and a half. They always do like a Kings versus Kings thing. So they just split the squad and they play each other. But they haven't really had like a true real preseason game yet. They are doing kind of like a split squad thing right now. And it's mostly like the young guys. We haven't really seen the veteran players. So it's really hard to come up with any sorts of conclusions whatsoever.
Right.
Because you're playing with a bunch of guys who are headed back to juniors, headed to the AHL. And they're not going to be great. Like,
you don't know what you're working with.
Right. It is interesting. Like maybe from a goaltending perspective of you get to see, you know, you want your goalie to be good no matter what garbage is in front of him, which, you know, I think many of us are familiar with. So, for example, the Kings are playing Jonathan Quick in one of these games. And, the team in front of him is a hot mess, but they're going to be a hot mess in regular season. Yeah. So, you know, that's interesting. But, you know, otherwise, kind of, you're not going to learn a whole bunch other than like, oh, wow, that teen boy sure doesn't know how to skate very well.
They're kids, you know, like you said, they're probably going to have like another 2 or 3 years before they actually start making the roster. So just don't lose your mind because boy can't skate. But you mentioned that the Kings do the Kings versus Kings mm-hmm. thing. And I know in football, they do that as well, obviously. But one of the things that they do in football is, like, they start little, like, scrums and, like, trash talking between each other to kind of, like, get each other riled up. Does it ever get physical with the Kings? You
know, like, this year, so they've been doing this thing for, I think this is maybe the third or fourth year they've done it. Obviously, last year was canceled because of mm-hmm. COVID. This year was actually one of the most competitive Kings versus Kings games wow. that I've seen. Like, early in the first period, one guy, you know, kind of came in and hit another guy along the boards. And they, like, they didn't okay. fight, but there definitely was some, like, shoving and words exchanged. And you're seeing it, you know, also a lot of, like, puck battles in the corner that are a little more physical than you would expect, you know, from your teammate in a scrimmage, essentially. And at least in the Kings situation that I can speak for is that these things are all happening generally with bubble guys. You know, it's not mm-hmm. Anje Kopitar going and smashing some guy in the corner, but I think everyone knows the situation in front of them of there's a limited number of roster spots yeah. and there's a whole bunch of guys who want them. So I feel like you're seeing way more physicality and way more, like, I don't know, oomph from some of these yeah. guys who want a spot and who want to try to, like, be memorable or whatever. Whereas definitely in years past, I remember it being much more like all-star game level hockey. Yeah. You know, people are trying, but they're not, like, it's a very gentle hug into the boards.
Right. Like,
just a little different.
When I think of preseason hockey and even training camp, my brain just kind of goes to, like, getting back into a routine, a little bit of conditioning, and not, you know, yeeting someone into the boards because I, you know, the last thing you want to do is obviously hurt yourself and yeah. then hurt someone else. And
yeah,
especially if that's your teammate, like, you know,
right.
You don't
yeah. It's definitely always the, like, the fringe guys, like in one of the other, like, preseason games from the other night, one of the guys who's, like, a free agent camp invitee got in a fight with Andrew Ladd, of all people. And my exact choice. Commentary in the game was, like, why is Andrew Ladd fighting a child?
Right. That's, like, elder and, like, or child abuse.
Right. They didn't stream the game either. So, like, you only had the audio. So, like, I have no idea what sparked this other than just, you know, the broadcaster being like, oh, and Andrew Ladd just dropped the gloves. I'm like, what? You know, so I feel like you'll see that, and it's usually between two guys who want to make an impression. Andrew Ladd doesn't need to make an impression, like, but this other kid is clearly trying to earn a contract. So I get it. It's stupid, but I get it.
Yeah, do your thing. I mean, it was so memorable that you don't even remember the kid's name. Like, that, truthfully, that's the impact he made.
Well, his name is Cade McNally. I just say it because no one else probably knows who he is. But in general, like, I did have to
remember
look him.
Earlier. Like, we need to remember him, you guys.
I mean, he could be on the Kings because they want someone large who punches people. I don't know. But yeah, like, it's going to be better once we get to the kind of final preseason yeah, games, when it's a lot definitely. More like, this is your real roster. These are your real players. And yeah, like, two prospects who you're kind of trying to figure out what to do with.
Definitely. I think, like you said, once we kind of shift towards closer to opening night and there's a little bit more of a cohesive lineup, and maybe you are starting your number one goaltender, that's when you're going to see a little preview of your actual team and not these children who probably, like, yeah. get on a school bus every day.
That's amazing. Yeah. So that's the state of preseason hockey. And next week's probably going to be more of the same, but maybe a little bit better because we'll have more grown-ups in the lineups. But yeah, it's going to be fun and weird until then. When we come back, we have some other cool news to talk about with the Winter Classic. So we're going to take a look at that next. But before we get into that, I want to tell you all about a simple way to get all the entertainment that you love without all the hassle. Because if you're like me, you want things to be as simple and uncomplicated as possible. because you're busy and tired and you just want things to be easy. So, you know, we're here for you with DirecTV Stream. It brings you your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means that you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. The best part of it is that there is no annual contract, so stop waiting and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible devices are required and content varies by package. And what better to do when watching your TV on DirecTV Stream than to have snacks? Because I love snacks. And
I love my snacks.
Like, given how much I love snacks, I should want them to be kind of healthy. And so we've got Built Bars, which are both delicious and healthy for you. And Jess, if you're watching on the YouTube version, you can see Jess model the Built Bars for us. They are delicious. They come in a ton of different flavors, including things like double chocolate and brownies and mints and all that stuff. But the best thing about Built Bar is if you are someone who like has FOMO, essentially, and you have food FOMO, you're always going to want to be looking at built.com because they always have limited edition varieties. There's some stuff that you can only buy like one day before they take it away. So if you're not jazzed by all of the regular flavors, there's always something special coming out for you. So you can go to built.com, keep an eye on all of the flavors available, and get your tasty treats today. So you can go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off of your favorite Built Bars. That's built.com, and enjoy your snacks. So the Winter Classic.
The Winter Classic. Never thought we'd see that again.
Yeah. I mean, it's happening.
Yeah.
I mean, first off, we never actually talked about those Minnesota jerseys.
Oh, yeah.
For this, which isn't actually what we meant to talk about, but I was just looking at the picture on the website of Matt Dumba and some other guy. I don't know. He's a guy. It might be a stall. I'm kind of squinting at the screen. I don't know. He's large and he's a hockey player. The jerseys, I feel like, caused a little bit of a stir whenever they were released. Some people loved them. Some people hated them. I'm like 75% on them. Like, they're different, which I feel like is what I want to see teams do. I like that they feel very vintagey with like the typeface and like mm-hmm. the state and everything. The thing that I hate is these stupid little elbow patches on the jersey, which like whenever these came out, there was of course now like anything that gets branded that comes out has like a story behind what all of the elements mean. And like, the elbow patches were supposed to mean something about like the hardworking ethic of the, you know, Minnesota Wild or whatever, which, okay.
All right. Just cool. Tell me that you couldn't come up with anything. And that's
right. Like someone in the design department said, you know, what would be cool? Elbow patches. And then they had to like reverse engineer a reason out of it. Like, I don't know. I think St. Louis has released their jersey, but I don't remember what it looks like, which means that it wasn't very memorable.
Right. Probably blue. So, honestly.
Yes. I mean, I kind of hope. Like, they're well, like, it could be, color is orange.
Yeah. Well, no. Like, it could be like, I guess that I think it's the St. Louis flag or it's the state flag.
Yeah.
That's why they have the yellow, red, and blue.
Yeah, I guess. It's probably blue, though. It's probably blue.
I hope so.
But making fun of the jerseys wasn't actually our news item. It just sort of came to mind while we were looking at this. The big news about the Winter Classic is that, obviously, it's outdoors. It's going to be a night game. The game is going to start at 7 p.m. Eastern time and is really, I think, maybe the first time that we've actually intentionally had one scheduled at night. They've been rescheduled sometimes because of weather, but this is going to be a legit night game in Minnesota.
I think it's really cool. And I think one of the things I was nervous about was would we even have a Winter Classic? Because I didn't mm-hmm. know how the licensing rights would work. I don't know how, you know, if TNT or ESPN, whoever, would want to keep doing it. But the night thing is very interesting to me because I do wonder if the where were they? Salt Lake City somewhere this past February.
Who knows?
They played in a mountain. They played outside, and it was a disaster.
Tahoe thing.
Lake Tahoe. Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah.
They're all kind of that kind of part of the country is the same thing to me. I'm not very good at geography. That's why I host a hockey podcast.
Yeah.
But it's just very interesting to me that they're doing it at night because I think it's a much smarter idea. I think it's, you know, you're not going to have as many issues with the ice melting. And I think my biggest thing as a viewer is the sun and the glare. And sure, like the stadium lights might create a little bit of, you know, glare, but nothing like the sun.
Right.
And the ice during that Vegas Colorado game, I think it was brutal.
Yeah.
And I think that's another reason why I was kind of iffy on they would want to bring it back because it costs money to upkeep these things.
Right.
So
yeah.
Is that something that the league and broadcasting would want to invest in?
Yeah. And like I feel like, well, even Gary Bettman acknowledges, hey, the sun isn't going to be an issue. So, you know, good job, Gary. But, you know, and I feel like it's also a safety issue because, you know, we have seen with those games in Tahoe, like the one had to stop in the middle and resume later in the day because the ice conditions were so bad. Right. Like that's ridiculous. I think one of the reasons they haven't done them at night before is because they always want to like avoid conflict with like some other, like, I feel like football does stuff and and I'm like, okay, cool. What's different about this year? Like, is there not a football thing? Did they just decide they don't care? Because there's not like the Venn diagram of like your hardcore football fans and like your hockey fans who are going to watch a Winter Classic game between teams that aren't theirs.
Right.
Like that overlap is real small. So, you know, maybe they're like, we don't care anymore. Or TNT was like, listen, we're just going to do it at night. But it's a good decision. And I think it gives people longer to hang out because these things always have like the fan festival and everything. When I went to the stadium series right before COVID, you know, it was also like an afternoon game. And they have a whole fan festival. You can see the Stanley Cup, there's games and everything. But unless you're getting there like mega early, you know, you don't really have that much time to wander and explore before the game starts. So I feel like now you could, you know, bilk more money out of people essentially by keeping them there longer because they want to go hang out and play games and drink beer. And then they go to the stadium and drink more beer and watch games.
And who wants to wake up that early on New Year's Day?
No, horrible.
Even like before I was old enough to go out and celebrate, like I'm just not someone who can be like, okay, like let's go have all this fun stimulation after a night of stimulation watching the ball drop in my living room.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I've slept through the beginnings of some of these games because I was like, no. Especially like East Coast games. I'm like, no, this is not gonna happen.
It's just not something like, I don't get me wrong, I do like the Winter Classic, but sometimes I'm just like, okay, we don't need to make this as giant production. We can just play a hockey game.
Yeah, which is kind of what I liked about the Tahoe stuff. I mean, aside from the weather disaster.
Yeah.
Is that, like, because there couldn't be any fans, like, I hate the whole, like, it's the more pure form of hockey, whatever. Like, I don't care. But, like, it just felt much more like a game that happened to be outside with some, like, really spectacular views than a whole big production number.
Right.
Which, like, I kind of wish they would keep doing that. But obviously, you don't make any money when you don't have any fans. So.
But I think what was really cool about the Lake Tahoe game was the view. And I'm sorry, but the stadium, what am I supposed to be looking at?
Yeah. I've been there.
There's a on top of.
Yeah. There's not too much exciting there. I've been there. You can see like other buildings.
Right.
It's no Tahoe.
And like, I'm thinking of like the games that have been hosted back in Boston. Like what? There's nothing like exciting.
Right.
Like, okay, cool. Like you're in Fenway Park.
Right.
Great. Okay, you're inside Gillette Stadium. That's not even in Boston. What are you looking at?
Yeah.
Nothing. Yeah, and it's not like even like you can explore anything after. There's too many people.
Right. No, it's horrible.
Yeah. Like, sorry, everyone. I don't mean to like rain on your winter classic parade, but it's just, I don't know.
Yeah. It's a lot.
I'm going to eat my leftover Chinese food in the comfort of my bed.
Right. Like in my robe, watching TV with my cats on me. Like,
yes.
Yes.
Do not ask me to turn up the TV.
Nope.
It will be on like 5.
Yeah.
We're good. Yeah. I don't care.
If something cool happens, you'll see it.
I just background noise, unless my team's playing.
Pretty much. Yeah. We'll see how it goes. I'm just glad I don't have to wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
This is. That's exciting.
Like I can wake up at 2 and then just have my own fan fest.
Exactly. I love it. Well, we have one more thing to talk about, and that is the Sharks. So that is coming up next. But first, Jess, I believe you have something cool to tell us about.
Oh, yes. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the football field as teams are back for another start of the football season. And don't get it twisted. They're here for hockey too. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all of your pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, there are a ton of odds, props, and contests, including your favorite Vegas casino games. Head on over to betonline.ag today on your mobile device or your desktop and sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That is double your initial deposit just for signing up. And don't forget to use promo code NFL100. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
Well, one of the things that I think BetOnline should have, if they don't, they need to get on this, is odds about players re-signing with their teams. Because at least in the hockey world, that's always a huge topic of conversation. Like, is this guy going to come back? Does he want more money? Does he want to go? Like, if you're from Toronto, of course, the rumor is always like, does he want to go home? Does he want to play for his hometown team?
Like John Tavares watch.
A few years ago.
Eric Karlsson watch.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like nothing is going to top John Tavares watch.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that was.
I feel like the only thing that could top it would be if Connor McDavid goes, like, you know, whenever he goes to free agency, if he,
whenever that is.
Right. Like, or is he just committed to being an Oiler for life? I don't know. But like, I feel like that'll be a big deal if they don't, you know, re-sign him before his deal's up. But yeah, John Tavares watch was like epic.
That was so much fun. And then just like the reveal, I don't know, I'm a softie, so when he was like, oh, here's me and my little leaf pajamas and my little leaf bed sheets, okay,
it was super cute. And you know, I did like that. I feel like, you know, every year, every free agent, if they're from Toronto, people are like, is he gonna come home? And finally they got one, so you know, that was cool that, you know, Leafs fans finally had something to get excited about, I guess. But our free agent in question here, there's no question about him going to Toronto. I don't think. Doesn't seem likely.
I don't think that this will happen.
I doubt it. But we have Thomas Hertl with the Sharks, who is and has been one of their best players, even now through their, we're not going to call it a rebuild yet, but they definitely should be rebuilding. He is in the last year of his deal right now. Making an average cap hit of $5.6 million, which is a lot of money. And most people you'd think would want kind of a bump on their next deal, especially since he just came off of a 4-year contract. He's probably looking for something longer term, say he's going to finish, like look towards finishing his career somewhere essentially. And he still isn't signed with the Sharks. He could be re-signed, but he hasn't yet, which of course has sparked all sorts of rumors and crazy conspiracy theories and everything. But the report coming out of San Jose is that he kind of suggested in a roundabout way that he would be open to potentially taking less money in order to stay with the Sharks, which, okay, way to be loyal, I guess, to a team that is, sorry, Sharks guys, going nowhere.
Yeah, sorry. But wasn't it like 2 weeks ago he was, well, I don't know if he said it directly, but there were reports of him saying how unhappy he was because of Evander Kane, which is a whole nother, again, we talked about this before the show. We were like, we don't know what to talk about today. And you were like, well, Evander Kane's back in the news. And I was like, okay, give it an hour. Arizona will find, you know, we'll, they'll do the show for us. Basically. And yes, Evander Kane is still a Shark. He's still in the NHL.
He's still in trouble.
He's still under investigation, but for a different issue. So is there something that kind of clicked with Hurdle? Does he know something that we don't? Are the front office people saying, hey, you know, like this whole Evander Kane situation, we're going to take care of it because of you. Right. We want you to stay.
Yeah.
Not because like, it's the right thing to do.
Well, that's the hockey answer right there. Right. You know, of course it's not because it's the right thing to do. But I think all of this came out of comments he made at like at a recent media availability where he was talking specifically about Joe Thornton, who we do know like repeatedly took less money than he could have earned just to kind of keep that group of Sharks core players together. And now he's living it up on the other beach in Florida. But, you know, Hurdle said, you know, I like that idea. You can go somewhere else, sign the maximum, even get maybe too much, but you're losing for the next 8 years. He's like, I don't want to be in this position. I don't want to say that I'll take less and just take it for the team, but I do think I'm a little bit for that idea. So, you know, he's not really coming out and saying, hey, Sharks, lowball me. But, you know, I think that, you know, it is something that he's considering, it seems like, of, okay, maybe he won't take quite as much as he could get from another team, but he is somewhere that he likes, Evander Kane's situation notwithstanding. You know, could potentially see himself becoming, you know, a leader on that team. He already wears the A for the Sharks and, you know, for being apparently like the happiest guy on earth is, you know, a respected player in that room. But, you know, that all the Sharks are really saying is like, we've talked to his agent and we like him. So that's it. Like, they're not giving anything.
Right.
Which is good. You don't want to negotiate in the media, but
no.
Yeah. What is the truth, Sharks? What is the truth?
Right. And I don't know. I don't want to get ahead of myself and get that wishful thinking out there. But, I mean, I think that there are plenty of teams who could benefit from him. And I just feel like this Evander Kane situation does tie into it. And I think that that is so far past ever, like, redeeming himself. I don't care if he comes out and scores as many twice as many goals as he did last year. If he plays, like, you're kind of a piece of crap. And I don't think that the room would be happy. I think it would be like an obvious like dark cloud and the elephant in the room, if you will. And it's just not something that I think people are gonna tolerate. And I think that that's probably gotten out there, especially at this point. And we're, what month are we? We're basically in October. but I just, I hope he resigns. I do, because I think that that team could use a good voice, could use a good leader. And I mean, he supposedly is taking a stand against Evander Kane. So, you know what? That's really all. I hope he signs for like $2 bajillion. Take all the money.
Take all the money. Like, do it. For anyone who hasn't heard the latest on the Evander Kane saga, in addition to being under investigation for gambling related issues, in addition to being under investigation for the issues with his soon to be ex-wife and daughter, his estranged wife, and the children and all that sort of stuff. There is now also an investigation into whether he basically broke league COVID protocols or something. There hasn't been any specifics as to what's going on with that, but it's like yet another reason why he's away from the team, because of somehow COVID something, which I'm just like, come on, man. Like, if I were in that much trouble, I would just be like sitting, and this is what, like, this is why I'm not Evander Kane, like, because he obviously doesn't have the common sense to do this, but like, I would be sitting at home and like,
I'd be crying,
right? I'd be like in the, like, the corner in my bedroom, and I'd be like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not talking to anyone.
No.
Like, just let me know when it's done. But, you know, that's because I'm boring and not
a professional athlete.
Yeah. But yeah, that is the latest on him, is something COVID protocol. He hasn't been at training camp. He and the team essentially agreed that he shouldn't be there, aka the team probably said, don't
show up.
Yeah.
Your key card's not going to work. It's just not.
Right. So, you know, that's a thing that's going to have to get resolved eventually. And it will be interesting to see how it goes with the Sharks. They do have a couple of unrestricted free agents that are going to need to be re-signed. They have a handful of restricted free agents. How much this rift in the room is true, is embellished, I don't know. But it feels a little bit like poor Thomas Hertl is stuck in the middle of all of it, which, to like the happiest guy in hockey, I feel like should not be happening.
And I mean, if he wants to be happy somewhere, I don't know. I think there are a lot of teams that would be happy to have him.
Yeah, just
go to their competitive teams.
Like, just go to the East somewhere. Like, Pittsburgh, I feel like, always needs someone. Go over there.
Right.
And then we don't have to play him that often.
Right, exactly. And, I mean, just to, like, backtrack to Evander Kane for a second, I don't know what he could have done to break protocol, because, I mean, was he leaving the team hotels and things like that? Like, is that what they're referring to? Because I don't think there was really, I don't know. You know, I'm not even gonna speculate, because I don't remember what protocols were in place last year. But if it's true that he broke it, punishment, obviously, right, you need to be held accountable.
There's rules.
Right, they're in place.
Society.
They're in place for a reason. Like, we don't get to just break the rules for fun and games, but also just talk to someone and figure out a way to keep your name out of the headlines. And it just,
Just be smart. Boring, please.
Yeah. Like, just, yeah. Get like a cat. Get a cat and become like us. Okay. Normally I'd say, oh, I want my bank account. No, my bank account should not look like Evander Kane's.
Because yeah, no.
Bankrupt. It's fine.
Yeah, right.
Bro, go down to the shelter, get a $95 rescue cat, and your problems will be solved.
Yeah, because you got to take care of it. If you don't take care of it, you'll know.
You'll know. The litter box.
Mm-hmm. The shouting.
The
shouting.
He shout at you. Yeah. You thought your ex-wife yelled at you? Wait until you get a cat.
I think
that's locked down NHL.
Yeah. I think that's a great place to leave it. Get a cat. Adopt, don't shop. Go to your favorite local rescue and rescue a cat or dog or guinea pig or bunny. The rescue I work with has bunnies now, and that's exciting. Yeah, go get a fuzzy friend and, like, I don't know, learn some responsibility.
Right. Like, if a kid's too much, try a pet.
Yeah. Yeah, I can leave my cat at home for a couple of days and I don't get in trouble for it. Like, that's one of the many reasons I don't have a human child. Like,
you're supposed to bring that thing places? Oh.
Right, like, that sounds
they watch awful. Themselves.
I've got a cat, yeah. Which is actually threatening to join us right on cue. Well, I feel like that is a great place to leave it. And we'll be back next week with all sorts of thoughts on preseason as it continues. So Jess, in the meantime, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at Jess Belmosto. And if you're watching on YouTube, You can see it on the screen. And you can find Locked On Calgary Flames on your favorite podcast platform. And look, we have a furry friend. Oh, and my cat wants to join us too. Hey, buddy. Wow, it's like they know. Sarah, yeah. Where can we find you on the internet?
I figured I'd let him jump on the show for a minute. You can find me on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. Locked On Kings available, of course, wherever you get your podcasts, at Locked On LA Kings on Twitter. This show is at Locked On NHL Pods on Twitter. And of course, all of these shows available wherever you get your podcasts and also on YouTube. So that is it for today. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure that the cat is standing in front of the microphone. Make sure that you are listening to us first thing in the morning every day and enjoying your day, kicking it off with Locked On NHL. That's it for today. We'll be back next week. The other great hosts of Locked On NHL will be here all week long giving you all sorts of hockey news, but they don't have cats.
No.
Some of them might.
We do.
But we do. So that's it for today. Until next time, this has been Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.